This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 1st, 2015. The Solemnity of All Saints, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Who are these clothed in white robes? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who are these clothed in white robes? Question that is asked by St. John the Divine when he is receiving a vision of heaven. And the response is that they are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. Now, don't get caught up in what some of your friends who are outside the Catholic Church who refer to the apocryphal book of the Left Behind series, that the tribulation is something that is 7 years after everyone is caught up to the clouds in the air, and then there's this time when it just gets really horrible down here. Folks, it's really horrible here now, okay? We have tribulation now. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But fear not, I have overcome the world. We have to embrace that. So again, a little footnote on this whole thing. You get your friends that come up, you think we're in the last days? Definitively, explicitly, yes. Because Jesus Christ said, when he was here, that they were the last days. The writer of the Hebrews tells us that in these last days, God spoke to us through his Son. So we're in the last days, okay? Just have that, that's a given. But something that should be so comfortable for us is our faith. Not in the abstract, not in the theoretical. I am always emphasizing the practicality of our faith, the reality of our faith, the things that make it something to be embraced, something upon which to hold, even in this world. There is nothing else in our faith, and I mean this in all sincerity, talk about the Eucharist, we could talk about everything, that it can elude us because it is so profound and so deep. Something that can really make our faith real for us, and I would think this aspect of our faith is just that, it's the idea of the communion of the saints. The communion of the saints. We speak about it quite frequently, this communion of saints. I think it sounds so churchy that we kind of lose sight of it. Or we kind of fall into this mode where we think about, oh, you know, St. Francis, St. Ignatius, you fill in the blank of your favorite saint, and you think, well, you know, yeah, they're saints. I'm not. I'm just... Today on the Feast of All Saints is the day on which we celebrate the saints who we do not know their names. They're not in the canon of the Mass. We don't have a feast day for them. But they are saints nonetheless. They are the ones who have persevered through this time of tribulation in faith and obedience, and they have obtained a vision of our Lord Jesus Christ on the other side. These saints of whom we speak, and this is where it gets real. This is where I want you to go with this one. Every time from henceforth, when you hear about the communion of saints, I want you to think of your family, because that's what it is. You know, again, communion of saints sounds very churchy. Family is much more home. For us, it doesn't matter if it's a good or a bad one. Everybody's got a family. We have mothers and fathers. We have sisters and brothers. Some. Many have children. Even if it's an extended family, in this world, we basically base everything on it as far as relational things. When you get married, that's somebody that's not in your family, but that actually combines two families. This whole idea of family is where you want to go with the communion of saints. The Feast of All Saints that we celebrate today allows us to experience the joy of being part of the family of Almighty God Himself. And it should be tremendously more important to us than our family in this world. Well, my family is real important to me. Church is one of the families, a different thing. Actually, family here in this world actually informs us as to what we're going to have for all eternity in a much more deep sense. We are a family of God. Now, we hear that a lot, and we just lose that. It is so important to think of it in that context, because, for one thing, it sets the stage of where we are as Catholics. It is antithetical to think of the communion of saints and then be able to throw out this, me and my Bible, me and the Holy Spirit, me and God, me and my religion. It's antithetical toward that. It is not about us as an individual with God. After we individually come to a relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, what's the first thing he has us do? Be baptized. If it was just about us and God, what's the necessity there? What's the big deal? Our baptism initiates into our very being the fact of being one with our Lord Jesus Christ and the family of God, the body of Christ. I'm always emphasizing this body of Christ thing. And again, you can kind of lose it if you get too religious about it. And think about it being part as a big family, which it truly is. It is not about us and our religion, and it's tremendously practical. When our Lord took the Hebrew people out of bondage to slavery, you know, a big thing that differentiated them from all the other religions where they called God their father. He called them their children. This whole familial foundation. Our Lord Jesus Christ's incarnation brings that to the fore so very, very much. He takes on flesh. He leaves heaven and he becomes one of our family, the human family, in order to die for us on the cross. If he had just stayed up in heaven, he couldn't have done that for us. He becomes one of us. And through that, expects us to become one with his family. In a true sense. Not esoteric, not theological, but in a true sense. A lively sense. The way we actually present and embrace our faith. That's how our Lord works with us. It's collective. You know, it is truly us coming to Christ and being baptized. But once we're baptized, we are part of the family. And we need to act like it. We need to act like it and appreciate it. The way we treat one another, the way we treat the world. That's the way God works. He works communally. The Lord's Prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. John the Baptist, he taught his, but teach us how to pray. My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Does it say that? No. Not my Father. Your Father. Our Father. The communion in which we live. Give me this day my daily bread. No. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive me my trespass. Forgive us. What do I care if your trespasses? You're part of my family. I should care immensely about your offenses because they can, if it's a mortal sin, separate you from the grace of Christ. I care immensely. Forgive us our trespasses. It is communal. We are part of a family after our baptism. What would somebody think of someone? And I should say, like this is hypothetical, because everybody knows somebody. What do you think of somebody who ignores a member of their family? We all know somebody. You know, I haven't talked to my sister in 25 years. I haven't talked to my brother. I haven't talked to my mom or dad. You know, they this, they that. My aunt, my uncle, whatever it is. Everybody knows somebody like that. What do you think about? It's sad. It's tremendously sad to think about that, that someone would ignore a member of their family in this world, much less a person who would ignore their whole family. And I know a couple people like that myself. I personally know, yeah, I joined the Army when I got out of high school. And I haven't talked to my parents since. It's been 30 years. How tremendously sad that is. Tremendously sad. It saddens us to think about it in this life. How much more sad should we be for folks who ignore their eternal family? A little footnote, you know, I always point out occasionally, and it bears every time in the communion of saints to talk about this, you know, people in the church dynamic, you know, we're human beings. People don't, that person, this person, I always say, I tell you what, that person that's sitting next to you right now, or, you know, just look around. You better get used to them because you're going to spend all eternity with them. Okay? You're going to spend all eternity with them. St. Thomas Aquinas says in the Summa that we should actually be more attentive to our brothers and sisters in Christ because we know that we're going to spend eternity with them, and we don't know that about members of our own earthly family. You know, we're saddened by that, but you know, everybody's got them. You're like, oh man, I hope nothing happens to that person right now because they are not in a position where they need to be dying now. All right? Everybody knows that. We should pay more attention. Even in the married relationship, there is no other relationship on the face of this planet that is more close and more intimate than the marriage relationship. It sounds very nice in Hallmark, you know, this forever thing, but actually that's not what we say before our Lord Jesus Christ when we get married. We say what? Till death do us part. After death, guess what? You even get closer to your spouse in this world. You get closer because you are a brother and sister in Christ for all eternity. You're not their husband or wife anymore. You're a brother and sister in Christ. Jesus Christ explicitly says, in heaven, we are not given and taken in marriage. All right? That's for here, not there. It's much more important to understand the relationship for eternity than is here. We are part of a family. How glorious that is. And again, as the communion of saints pops up, we should think about that. As opposed to hearing communion of saints, here, my family. What do families do if one's in trouble? They help each other. Even, you know, and everybody's got one of these too. There's always the bent spoke or the black sheep of the family. Okay. Everybody's, oh my gosh, here he comes, here she comes, that, you know, everybody. But guess what happens? When they wind up in jail again, or when they, you know, need money for this because they blew all their cash, guess what the family does, generally speaking? Steps up and helps them, no matter how many times. Why? Because it's family. We don't let our family's members suffer. Why would we ever, ever think for one moment that our eternal family, the family that is in heaven now while we are here, and we understand from the scriptures, rejoices when one sinner comes to repentance. If they care enough, to the entire heavenly realm rejoices when a sinner comes to repentance. Do you think for one moment they don't help you? They do help you. That's intercession. God works like that. Oh no, we ask people to intercede for us here, but that's not for the dead. Really? That's not what the Bible says. In Revelation chapter 5, John is looking at the heavenlies and he sees the Lamb take the book, and he is dumbfounded because the creatures and the elders, not only the creatures who are in heaven, but the elders, the patriarchs, the one who have lived here and died, St. John sees them and it says, and I quote, "The 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." The Holy Spirit tells us through the words of Scripture that people who used to live here, who are dead and are in heaven now, lift up our prayers before the throne of grace. Throw that one out to your Protestant friends who don't like this communion of saints. I've never understood that one. That's like I said before about people who ignore their family here. No one's got anything for a person that ignores their family. You got a bunch of Christians out there who want to ignore their family in heaven. I don't need saints. I don't need priests and stuff like that. I don't need angels. It's me and Jesus. I've already pointed out, that's not how God works. He works with His body, the church. The one church is all about family. And if you, again, think for one moment that your family does you right here, and you think for a moment that they're not going to do you right on the other side, tremendously sad. I said it before about ignoring our human family. During our transition, back in the old days, in the Anglican Missal, you mentioned the saints, but you said them under your breath, because some people don't like that. Okay? Well, all of a sudden, we're coming to the Catholic Church, and all of a sudden, there's this long list of saints. I got so much flack over the saints. Oh, that list, what's up with that? That's so long. Can you shorten it? Can't we take that out? Why do we need that? Ignore your family. ignore those who are praying for them. After I heard it for a while, I just got kind of probably more quippy than I should have been. Oh, okay, I'll take them out. How many less people would you like praying for you? The Mass itself speaks of this family that I'm talking about. The communal approach to God. When we celebrate, you are not at the Mass at Incarnation Catholic Church on All Saints Day. You are at Mass with every other Catholic on the face of this planet. The last time I looked, our Lord Jesus Christ is a timeless God. He is not bound spatially. Our Mass speaks of that. During the canon of the Mass, that part, we beseech thee then, O Lord, graciously to accept this oblation from us, thy servants, individually, and thy whole family. It speaks of community. The Holy Mass mentions people. It just doesn't mention. You ever notice that? The Mass is not supposed to mention just Jesus Christ and God. It mentions his whole body. It mentions people by name. People that were like us. People that our Lord Jesus Christ has brought into his glory. That's that list of saints. It mentions people by name. It mentions people by name canonically, or just because they're there, but it also leaves places for us to insert names. Masses have intentions. Some people call the church office, I want a Mass said for this intention, and I insert that name because that person has desired it, or those people have desired it. I insert names in other places in the Mass. Sometimes you hear them, most times you do not. I pray God you are inserting names in the Mass for yourself. That's why you are here. Because this is your Mass also. This is your presentation of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ before his Father. Insert those names. You are doing people a favor, whether they're alive or dead. Little commercial. From this very day, November 1st, until the end of November, the whole month is devoted to the holy souls, the poor souls in purgatory. It is truly unfortunate that we don't hear about purgatory a whole lot. We are going to for the next month, because this month is devoted historically to the holy souls. There is a printout on the table in the narthex next to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks about the indulgences that for this month you can gain for the holy souls in purgatory. I beg you take that. I beg you avail yourself of the opportunity. Particularly, the whole month is set aside, but from the 1st through the 8th of November, this whole week is devoted to the holy souls. Every Mass, we're going to be going through some names during this week. Because from the 1st through the 8th, you can gain a plenary indulgence for the holy souls in purgatory. They are not applicable to you. They're only applicable to the holy souls in purgatory. And you can get a plenary indulgence for them once a day if you follow the instructions on that printout out there. I beg you do that, because if you do it now, that will be reciprocated. Families look after one another, okay? And if you offer Masses for and fulfill the obligations for plenary indulgences for souls in purgatory, that may be enough to get souls out of purgatory to where they are beholding the beatific vision. And if you for one moment think that a soul that's looking at the Blessed Trinity in all its fullness of glory, and they know that they're there because you prayed for them and you offered Masses for them, if you think for one moment that they are not going to do it for you, you are sadly mistaken. And the last time I looked, guess what? There ain't one of us is going to get out of this alive. So most of us are not going to die in the pristine condition that you need to be a saint and behold the beatific vision. So the vast majority of us are going to wind up in purgatory. When you are there, you are going to wish that people here and people that already have the beatific vision are praying for your soul to get out of purgatory. I beg you, fulfill the obligations for the holy souls for the next at least week, but for the whole month. That is what we do. We are members of the family. Every celebration of Holy Mass, every single celebration, you are not only in communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, but you with all peoples from every place and every tongue, tribe, and nation, as it said in the reading today. Every single one of them. You cannot separate Jesus. You don't have a Jesus that's up in heaven with all the saints, and then there's this other Jesus that kind of hangs out in his Holy Spirit with us down here. Every time we celebrate Mass, hence the with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we are with them. We are praying for them. They are praying for us at this very Mass. The barriers of time and space go away. They're praying for you. Pray for them. The Holy Spirit, and I'll end with this. The Holy Spirit speaks through St. James, and he says that the prayers of a righteous man has great power in its effects. A lot of people like to just limit that to here. How righteous are you, me? But you know, can you search my heart? Can I search yours? Do I know how? I tell you what, I don't care. I want you praying for me. All right? You're at least sitting here, not out playing golf or something. All right? I want you praying for me because the prayers of a righteous man have great effect. How much more great is the effect of the righteous who are in heaven, who are members of your family? In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.